Hello, I'm Diana Mason, Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing. In the March 2009 issue of AJN, Dr. Elizabeth Zong and her colleagues at the National Council of State Boards of Nursing report on a study of recidivism and remediation among nurses in six states who were placed on probation for professional misconduct. The study provides evidence of the need for criminal background checks of nurses. This study's findings, combined with concerns about punitive approaches for nurses who commit errors in unsafe healthcare systems, and some recent reports in the Los Angeles Times regarding delays by the California State Registry for Nursing, raise questions about the mission of state boards and how they should accomplish their mission in a time of limited resources. And I'm very pleased to have with me to discuss these issues Dr. Marianne Alexander, a registered nurse and chief officer for nursing regulation for the National Council of State Boards of Nursing. Marianne, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Diana.
So, Marianne, I've always understood that the mission of state boards for nursing across the country was protecting the public from unsafe clinicians. Do I have that right? And if this is the traditional mission of state boards for nursing, is it changing?
You are 100% correct. Our mission, the mission of state boards of nursing, is to protect the public. And that mission is not changing. However, let me say that it is also expanding, that state boards also consider part of their work in protecting the public, not only removing unsafe practitioners, but looking at the cause of what the problem was and providing assistance for nurses. For example, if a nurse has to be taken out of practice because of an addiction problem, a substance abuse to alcohol or drugs, they want to see to it that she gets the help that she needs in order for her to recover and then enter back into the work setting in a safe way. Likewise, for nurses that have committed some significant practice errors, and it's felt that they need some type of remediation, the boards are working towards seeing to it that nurses get that help, are remediated, and are able to safely return to the practice setting.
And certainly it sounds like the right thing to do, and particularly during a time of a nursing shortage. Any nurse that can be salvaged out there, it seems like the right thing to do. So since the late 1990s, when the Institute of Medicine released its report on quality and safety in healthcare, the focus on errors has shifted to blaming systems rather than people for errors in healthcare. And I've thought a lot about how difficult this must be for state boards who have traditionally assumed that if the nurse made the error, that's the site of the action or the discipline. How is this change in how we think about errors changing how state boards think about how they approach their responsibility for ensuring that nurses are safe to practice?
Well, you know, let me go back to, you know, three guiding principles for nursing regulation, and that is public protection. Number two is ensuring a fair and just system. And number three, promoting a culture of safety and competence in nursing. When you look at those goals, they are very much parallel to the goals of just culture. Just culture says we need to separate human error from at-risk, reckless, or intentional behavior. And that is what we're doing now when we look at systems also. That is the same type of philosophy that nursing boards are doing. They are looking at what was really the cause of the error. And Diana, if you look at even the results of our study that we are having published, 40% of those cases in that study were related to criminal intentional misconduct or at-risk behavior. So if you look at the table two, there were two categories. One were intentional misconduct, criminal behavior. That is the exactly what Just Culture says. We need to separate out. Those individuals need to be disciplined. They need oversight. You know, we would be absolutely not doing our job. The boards would not be protecting the public if they did not really have oversight and discipline those individuals. There's no question about that. There's a second category that makes up that 40% are individuals who were disciplined for behavior that was related to drug and alcohol use. Definitely, boards need to intervene. They need to help them get assistance, and they need to help them have oversight as they return to the practice setting. This is exactly, again, in line with Just Culture. But, you know, boards are doing more than just looking and blaming individuals. Many boards notify employers when they identify a system error and ask the employer to address that within their own institution. We and our organization have a research project now that we're conducting where we ask boards of nursing to send us their errors, and we look at the analysis of them and specifically look at system-related issues. We hope that information is going to be helpful not only to boards of nursing, but in the practice setting in general, to employers as well as practitioners. We are also looking at a different way of disciplining, as I mentioned in your first question, so that we hopefully, we will not just be blaming individuals, but also providing them assistance to get them help so they can safely return to the work setting. And many boards have non-disciplinary approaches to nurses that meet the requirements for getting help with impairment issues and also for ones that are related to practice errors.
So, Marianne, if I'm a nurse who's, I've made an error and I've been reported, I believe it's an unsafe system that I'm working in. Are you telling me then that state boards now in their investigation into my situation will take a look at those systems issues as well?
Absolutely. That will be considered. And when they look at your case, there's no question about it that boards are looking at those issues. And like I say, many of them are collaborating with the systems itself to help make practice safer.
So you're aware of the series by Charles Ornstein and Tracy Weber in the Los Angeles Times that talked about delays in the California Board of Registry in taking action against nurses who had criminal convictions. And my understanding is that that resulted in an increase in staff for the state board in California. My experience in talking with to some other state boards in years past is that they have been working with limited resources. And when you, as you're talking about state boards now taking more of that system approach, it seems like that state boards have a mission that they sometimes don't have the resources to really carry out that mission. Do most state boards, in your opinion, have adequate resources to carry out their mission?
Well, you know, I want to answer that in two parts. One is, are they carrying out their mission? And I think unquestionably they are, but they are doing it with very limited resources. We just had our mid-year meeting, and it's unbelievable how boards are struggling and the cutbacks that they're experiencing. And yet, they are doing a tremendous job of trying to stay on top of what is coming their way.
And is there something that you think the nursing community or the public could be doing to try to garner more resources for state boards?
Well, you know, nursing is the largest profession in most states, if not all, and they generate the highest revenues. But unfortunately, all that money is not going to them. Mm. The dollars are going into general revenue funds that support other boards and agencies, and some of them are having the funds swept by the state legislature. So I would think that it would be of help to boards if the nursing community spoke up and said, this is not acceptable. Our dollars should be going towards our profession and towards helping us.
Very good point. Well, Marianne Alexander, I want to thank you very much for talking with me today. Marianne Alexander is a registered nurse, the chief officer for nursing regulation of the National Council of State Boards of Nursing. Thank you so much, Marianne.
You're welcome, Diana.
I'm Diana Mason, editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing.